the presence of Brother Jim Phillip and his wife, Marilyn, right? Mm-hmm. I've been practicing on that. I keep calling you, keep wanting to call you Madeline. But anyhow, it's a blessing for us always when we have Brother Jim come. This is the second time he's been here with us. And it's been just a blessing for this church. And I know he's going to present to us a good lesson on the subject of conversion, which to me is a very interesting subject, in which a subject that many maybe don't understand. And thank God for those who do understand the meaning of conversion, because it's a very important topic and subject. And we couldn't get nobody better than to teach on this subject than other than my brother Jim Phillips. I appreciate these people dearly from the bottom of my heart. And to me, I just, you know, knowing he was coming up, him and his wife, it was just, I don't know, I can't express my feelings, you know, knowing he's going to be here. We always look forward to being come here to church, you know, me as the pastor of this church. But it's extra special when you get somebody who's been in the Word for over 30 years and knows what he knows, and God has taught him many things over the course of years. To me, it seemed like from 25 years of not hearing him, it seemed like I'm back in kindergarten again, you know, because you've learned so much in the last 35 years or more. So I give you Brother Jim Phillips, and that he will come up and teach this lesson for us. Thank you.
It is good to be here. I loved the song service. See, I don't get that.
I was just going to tell him that.
I don't get that type of song service.
So that is
that is great. Now, if I can find my sermon.
You can wing it, brother.
Yeah, I can wing it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Open my mind today. Help me bless these people here. And I pray that it blesses all these people all over the world that listen to this sermon today. Thank you for the blessings of life you give us. Thank you for the trials that prove who we are. And thank you for your grace. We're absolutely powered by grace in everything that we do. Forgive us for our failure, Father. Open our minds, open our hearts. Open our souls today to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Katamathion.
What's that?
Katamathion.
Katamathion?
Yep, Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew. Katamathion.
Katamathion.
The fourth chapter. Now I'm going to wing through this pretty quick. The fourth chapter is where Jesus began to call out his assembly, his church. That's one thing that Jehovah's Witnesses get right. They call the church an assembly. They got that right. They got everything else wrong, but they got that one right. 4 and verse 18, we have Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Marilyn, what does Galilee mean? Remember?
Circle.
All of those cities, we have 10 cities around the Sea of Galilee with about 150,000 occupants. Now, as Jesus would have his little church services from the very beginning, sometimes there would be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people in a service. I attend a very large church. There's 10,000 people in that church. That church is minuscule compared to what Christ had following him. Those 10 cities, the word oklos means 5 to 10,000. The word okloi means from 10 to 20,000 plus people. There was okloi around him at times. That's 10 to 20,000 people, if you can even imagine that. And also imagine that he could hear his voice so plainly, divinely speaking. Jesus spoke divinely to these people. Matthew, the fourth chapter, verse number 18. It says, And now walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Now the word Andrew means manly, and the word Simon means one who hears, and Peter means a stone, a small stone, Petros. Petra means a very large rock. Mm-hmm. And they're casting their nets into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow and listen to me, and I shall make you fishers of men. And immediately, they left their nets and they kept on following him. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, or Matthew, the 26th chapter, Matthew 26, 20 through 34, here we have the chief priest. These are archeres, is what it says. The chief priests, head chiefs. All right, the chief priests. And the elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barnabas. This is at Jesus' trial. And Jesus is being led out to be crucified. And he was arrested in the garden. We have Judas betraying his master. Judas was the first church treasurer, as we know. It says that he was a robber. And he offered pilfered the bag. He was an apostle, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But was he saved? No.
No.
He wasn't saved. Are there people that join God's churches that aren't saved?
Absolutely.
It's awfully hard making a good church member out of a lost person. Jesus had the same problem we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Same problem we have today. Let's go over here in verse number 20. Matthew 26 and verse 20. And now evening had come, and he's laying up the table with the 12 disciples. Now, we didn't have tables like this during the Lord's time. They had short tables like a coffee table, and they laid on pallets. And they laid up to the table, and their feet were way behind them. When the woman washed the feet of Jesus, she walked behind all of them, and his feet were there, and they were barefooted. His feet were naked. And she washed his feet there as he was laying away from the table. And that's the word laying up the table this time. Now, on this table, always, this is what we call the Hasidor today, Hasidor. All right, this is the Passover, this is the Passover meal. And at that table, there is a cup for Elijah, and there is a loaf of bread for Elijah, and that's what the Lord made his Lord's Supper out, or instituted the Lord's Supper, was from the Passover dinner. And by the way, there was real wine on the table. It's called Ganemotis Tesson Plu, which means fruit of the vine, but it's oinos. We get our word wine right out of oinos. Oinos. And this is a setting we have. We have the Passover setting. And they were eating. And he said, truly, truly, I say that one of you will betray me. And being grieved, they each one of them began to say, surely not I, Lord. And he answered and said to them, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who shall betray me. And the Son of Man is is to go just as is written of him. But woe to whom that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man not to have been born. Now the only person in the New Testament, besides Jesus and John the Baptist, that is prophesied and spoken of in the Old Testament is Judas. He's the only one. He is spoken of because he would raise his heel in the house of his friends. He will raise his heel up against me. And Judas, who was betraying him, literally Judas who kept on betraying him. He didn't betray him one time. He betrayed his trust. He betrayed his everything. When he was a treasurer, he betrayed his trust because he stole from the church. He stole. Every time Jesus wanted to do something wonderful for people, he'd say, ooh, 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 ooh. He had objections to it always because he was holding the purse and he wanted all that money for himself. He was an embezzler. And he answered and said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. And he said unto him, you said it. And the Lord's Supper is instituted in verse 26 onward. And they were eating. Jesus took some bread. Now, most people believe that Jesus had already left now. Right when he said this, you said it. Then Jesus went out and they thought that he was going to get something else. Now he's going to institute the Lord's Supper. And he's going to institute the Lord's Supper from two elements that are on that table. One is Elijah's bread, which was unleavened bread. And the other is Elijah's cup, which had wine in it.
Why did you say Elijah?
Elijah. Elijah's bread. Elijah, now we know, they ask him if Elijah has come, and John the Baptist was Elijah. Now we're going to see here, and he tells them also at this period of time, every year when the Jews would have the Passover, the Hasidor, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. But let's see what Jesus says. Now, have you ever wondered the words that Jesus spoke over that bread and that wine? Have you ever wondered the words? He would speak it in Hebrew, by the way. And over the wine, he would say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'alem borei pri ha'gafen. That's what he said. And what that says is, blessed are you, our God, that the universe belongs to, who creates the fruit of the vine. Gematos teison plu in Greek. Now that's what he said over the wine. And by the way, I'm taking this right straight out of the celebrations of the Jews. All right, these are the historical things. You can get it in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, whatever you want to get it from. This is a smaller book, so I brought this book today.
Okay.
All right. And now he prays over the bread, and he says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'alem shekenanu. All right. No, wrong one. Read the wrong Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'alem ha'matzi lehem min ha'aretz. Baruch means blessed. Praise you are, O Lord. Now, by the way, always here when they print it in Hebrew, they leave out the name Jehovah. And they call him Adonai. We could put the name Jesus in there. Jesus. The word Jehovah means he who shall become. It comes from a Hebrew root, Hayah. 224 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, if you want to look that up, brother. You can write it right down.
224?
And 243 in Kohler and Baumgartner. Hayah. Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become. John 1:14 says, Kai halogo sarx aganato. And the word there is a Hebraism, and it should mean, and the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John 1:18 says, No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, being constantly in the bosom of the Father, inseparable from the Father, that one has led himself out. Now Jesus is explaining himself to them. He said, take, eat this bread. What is it? The bread that came down out of heaven. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'alem ha'matzi. Ha'matzi is the bread, the unleavened bread, men out of the earth. Everything comes out of the earth, doesn't it? All things grow from the earth.
Did you quote in verse 18? Is that what they call it in the middle voice? He led himself.
Yes, that middle voice. John 1:14. Kai hologo sarx aganito. The word aganito is third person masculine singular secondary indicative middle voice. And it's middle voice down there where it comes from ex ago also. Mm-hmm. Praise you are, O Lord, our God of the universe. And this is who's with them. This is who's instituting this supper. Who brings forth bread from the earth. Men ha'aretz. Mm-hmm. Let's go on and look at this now. We'll understand this a little more as we look at this Lord's Supper. I could preach 3 hours on the Lord's Supper. close communion, open communion, and close communion. Close, open, and closed. And there's a whole lot of difference in all of them. And when he had taken a cup, he gave thanks. Just exactly what we... Now you know what he said. That's exactly what he said. He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood. of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until when I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom. He did not say next year in Jerusalem. This is the last Passover meal that was ever legitimately served. The last one. All of it, rest of it's imposters. Every time they had any other thing from now on, every animal that's sacrificed. Hebrews the 6th chapter says, once you have been enlightened, once you come, if you try to crucify the Son of God, when you do those sacrifices again, you're crucifying and putting to open shame Jesus Christ. All of this fulfilled. It's done. The Sabbath is finished. Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. Mm-hmm. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine. Getamatas te sans plus. From now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We got to look forward to that Lord's Supper, aren't we? Mm-hmm. That's a great feast of the table in New Jerusalem. And after singing a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will fall away because of this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, this very night before a cock crows, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. Someplace here, I know there's a... Right down here. Okay. Here's a clock. 12, 3, 6, and 9. Jesus told exactly how, what time Judas, but Peter was going to betray him. Mm-hmm. A rooster crows every 3 hours, 24 hours a day. They don't quit crowing. You get an old game cock, and they're going to go 12, 3, 6, 9, all the way through. Now, this is in the evening. They're taking the Passover dinner. So now he's arrested. And between this period of time right here, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. Between 9 o'clock and 3 a.m., you're going to deny me three times. Between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., you're going to deny. You remember me teaching this a long time ago?
Yeah, never like that, but I understand the answer.
All right. Let's go on a little bit further now. And Peter said to him, for even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. I'm going to tell you something. They're not quite settled and converted yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here. Well, we know what happened here. He goes and he prays. And he's under a tremendous amount of stress. And he kept going back and he asked them to pray with him. And they were asleep because they were tired. Jesus was under the stress and the weight of the sin of the whole world. Brother Ray, your sins were upon him. Marilyn, Carol, all of us. Our sins were upon him right there. He is weighted down with our sins. The pressure of that is killing him physically. Because remember, he has a human body. We have Jehovah God, the he who shall become, but he's in a human body. And why is he coming in this human body? For God so loved the world, the cosmos, the Barashith, the Hashemayim. In eternity's past, it says that he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because he know all of those who would be saved. Yeah. In the book of Genesis, it says, Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim v'et ha'aretz. In beginnings, in eternity past, he had created, third person, masculine, singular, cal, perfect. He had created God. He had created Elohim. Elohim is a triune God. And it says Hashemayim. Hashemayim there could be translated universe. He created, first of all, the space to put the universe in, and then he placed the universe in that space. And then it says, We et haaretz. We is and. Et is the sign of the direct object. And then we have the word haaretz. Ha is a definite article. Eretz. Eretz is the earth. After God created all the universe, he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place in our solar system to sustain life as we know it today and have been for the last 6,000 years of man that's been on the earth. Well, the Lord is going to redeem all of everything you see out there. You look out there, you get out there and look up at nighttime, you look up and you see all the stars out there, that's going to be God's again. Right now, whose is it? Who has dominion here right now? How do you like living in the devil's world? I don't like it at all. I'm looking forward to living in God's world. The one that he will rule with righteousness. Well, now we have all these outlaws. We have we don't have Roman soldiers here, by the way. Don't ever think these are Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers did not guard the tomb. The Roman soldiers had nothing to do with it. Pontius Pilate told them to jump in the creek. Forget it. You know, I've done one thing that I didn't want to do, and that was to demand that he be crucified. They asked if they could get someone to guard the tomb, and he said, take your own soldiers and do the best you can. You don't have mine. He sent his soldiers on the outside to watch those soldiers to make sure they didn't do anything wrong. These people here, we've got about 1,000 men coming here to arrest Jesus, and these are Herod's elite guard, the temple guards. That's who it is. These aren't Roman soldiers. And verse number 47. Jesus basically told them, verse 46, arise, let us go, let us be going. Behold, the one who is betraying me is at hand. Verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a great multitude with swords. Now, by the way, this is a high holy day. It's not legal for them to carry a sword. This is a high holy day. They're not supposed to be carrying swords. Not supposed to be doing any of this business at all. This is the Passover week. By the way, Jesus took the Passover early with his church. He didn't take it on a regular Passover day. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. Catholicism says he was crucified on Friday. The Bible says he's going to be in a grave 3 days and three nights. Do you believe that? Jonah was a type of Jesus being buried as he was in the Leviathan or whatever swallowed him. He was in that thing 3 days and three nights. And that thing traveled all the way from the Mediterranean Sea, either over land or around the whole continent of Africa, up the Indian Ocean, then into the Persian Gulf and up the Euphrates River and spit him out there at Nineveh. Nineveh wasn't a short piece. That's thousands of miles by water. If he went by water. Well, it's true. Yeah. One or the other. Yeah. Either that fish or whatever it was swam its fins off real fast in 3 days.
Yeah, they traveled a long way.
Or he flew. Well, now the Leviathan, you know, that's the water, the animal. It's what we call a supernatural creature of the ocean. This is the Tannin. That, you know, when Moses and Aaron were in Pharaoh's palace, they threw down the rod and it became a dragon. It did not become a serpent. It became a Tannin, not a Nahash. He threw that down. It became a dragon like a Leviathan. A smoke breathing dragon. And these dragons, many of the old pictures of them, they had wings. And the Chinese dragon, that's what it's talking about. Anyway, that dragon, we jumped on this rabbit and we chased it a little bit, see. But God is able to do all things. If he says he did it in 3 days, he did it in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Now here we have all these temple soldiers. This is elite guard. These are the mafiosa of the day. They're what caused the Sicarii. Jesus had two of his disciples were Sicarii. Simon, the zealot. That means Sicarii. That means the dagger man. This is where Sicily was originated from, was these guys. These guys is what caused the whole destruction of Israel. They're the ones that caused it all. Masada, the Sicarii is the one that caused it. And here are these bunch. And now they come out here and accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. All of them are breaking the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. They're breaking the law of the rabbis. They're breaking the Pharisaical laws. They're breaking all the rules right here. Now he was betraying him, gave him a sign, saying, whoever I shall kiss, he is one who sees him. Kiss. A kiss is a very, very, very personal thing. All the early church members kissed each other right square in the mouth. But what do you mean when you kiss somebody? If it's just a friend, you kiss them. What you're doing is saying, I am your servant. I'm at your service. You're humbling yourself when you kiss them. When you kiss the hand of a mighty man, when you kiss the foot of a mighty man, what are you doing? You're humbling yourself. But when you kiss your brother, you're humbling yourself to him. You're saying, I'm at your service. If it's your mate, you're saying, I'm at your service. That's what you do. The kiss is a very personal, delicate thing. Now he's going to kiss him, and he's going to kiss him right square in the mouth. And immediately he went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kept on kissing him right in the mouth, fervently. Et tu, Brute. Remember that in Roman history. You too, Brutus, as he betrayed Caesar. Now here is the ultimate betrayal. And Jesus said to him, Friend, what do you come for? And then they came and laid his hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were Jesus. Now, the book of Matthew was written before Peter was killed. Peter was crucified upside down. But this book was written before Peter was killed. Okay? And they didn't put his name in here because this would have been an affidavit of court that they could have prosecuted Peter for what he did right here.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay? Now, the Gospel of John names Peter because the Gospel of John was the last Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter was dead when he wrote the Gospel of John. So he wrote Peter's name in it. Right now, he's covering up. This is a cover-up. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew his sword. Now, who do you think this was? Petros. Mm-hmm. Peter was carrying the sword on a holy day. Remember when Jesus told him, go buy a sword? Well, here's one of them. And he struck the slave of the high priest and cut his ear off. Now, he wasn't aiming for his ear. He's aiming for his head. This is a jihad, boy. he's going to cut his head off, but he missed. He cut his ear off. And Jesus said to him, put up your sword, put your sword back into its place. For all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I can appeal to the Father and he will send at me my immediate disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall all scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? And at that time Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as against a robber? You know, Jesus was crucified with two robbers, wasn't he? The word robber there means a killer and a murderer. These were Sicarii. Barabbas was the head of the Sicarii. He was a head hitman. He's what we call the captain. The godfather. That's who Barabbas was, a scoundrel. Barabbas means in Aramaic it means Barabbas, which means son of the father. Now who do you think his father was?
Right.
Nahash.
Yeah, Satan.
The godfather was turned loose. You know what the godfather did after they turned him loose? He went and ravaged villages. He would go into villages and demand that they give him money for his Sicarii forces so they could overcome the Romans. And all they were doing was causing trouble to the Romans. The Romans were trying to coexist with them. But the Sicarii caused Masada. They caused the temple to be completely leveled. Jesus stood over there across on the Mount of Olives looking at the temple one day in Jerusalem. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I would have plucked you as a mother hen does a rebbe chickens, but you would not come. He said, not many days from now, not one stone will be left upon another. Why? Because of the Sicarii. The head godfather was turned loose. and two of his lieutenants, one on either side, were left there. One of the two lieutenants was saved. One was lost. And every day I used to sit in the temple teaching you, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples left and fled. Were they converted yet? Was there total conversion?
No, this is not.
Now look at this. Were they? What is conversion? When you put your life in your hands. You know, not very many people came to church today. You know why? A big super church is a head. That is a target for ISIS. People are afraid. People are afraid.
Really?
But I'm going to tell you something. The faithful were there. The faithful were there. They were there. The faithful were there. Because you know what? Pretty soon, we may have to put our necks on the line like Peter. And we look here at Peter. How much of a Christian are you? Are you ready to put your neck on the chopping block like Paul did? Be crucified upside down like Peter? Peter wasn't quite converted yet. He's going to be. Let's go on and look a little bit further. Now, what did Jesus do to that slave of the high priest when his ear was cut off? He healed him. Well, now that was something right there. If you were one of those temple guards, Brother Ray, would that kind of convince you that something you're doing is wrong?
Sure.
You know, when people are dead set on sin, they're dead set on it, aren't they?
Right.
They were dead set on murder. The high priests that were there, the chief priests that were there, there were Levites there. The Sanhedrin court was assembled, and here they go after their victim. Let's go on a little bit further. About 69 here. Now they've been beating Jesus up. They've whipped him. Now we have Peter, the unconverted Peter. The Peter that wasn't quite ready to risk his life. Now Peter was sitting outside of the courtyard, and this is the courtyard of Caiaphas' house. Caiaphas was a high priest. Annas and Caiaphas. And a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You were with Jesus. You kept on being with Jesus, the Galilean." And Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." Verse number 71 now. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Another servant girl. Another slave girl. These are slaves. 72. And again he denied it with an oath. Oh boy, an oath. Look at that word oath. You know that word oath in Hebrew is oath. Did you know that? Oath. That means the sign of a covenant. An oath. What was the sign of the covenant after the flood? What was the oath in the sky?
The rainbow.
The rainbow. All right. What's the sign of the new? What was the sign of the covenant, the Old Testament, the Mosaic covenant? What was the sign of that covenant? Circumcision. What's the sign of the new covenant?
Baptism.
What was the sign that God put on Cain that protected him from those that would murder him? That was another word, oath in Hebrew. Oath. It was a protection. You know, all of these Ku Klux Klan and even the Mormons, they got the Cain was turned black. And that one of Cain's children was married to Ham, and that's how the dark races got on this side of the flood. Nope. That curse on Canaan was not black. That curse on Canaan was some type of a signature of God, his signature itself. It was just like the sign of the covenant of the rainbow, like circumcision or whatever it was. When they saw Cain, they knew God's protection was on him.
So it was an obvious...
It was an obvious signature. Maybe it was Jehovah on his forehead. Hmm. Who knows what it was? We don't know, but we know it was there. And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away. We understand your dialect. You've got a Galilean dialect. And he began to curse and swear. Oh, now he's not acting like Christian at all, is he? Began to curse and swear. I do not know the man. And immediately the cock crowed. 9 o'clock. You will deny me twice before the cock crows twice. He was arrested before 9 o'clock. The cock crowed at 9 o'clock. And now before the cock crows at 3, he was arrested after 9 o'clock. The cock crowed at 12 o'clock, and it would crow again at 3 o'clock. And between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., he denied the Lord 3 times in those 6 hours. And Peter remembered the word, and Jesus said, "Behold, before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. And he went out and kept on weeping. Now turn to Kata Iwane, the Gospel according to John.
Kata what?
The Gospel according to John, Kata Iwane.
Kata Iwane?
Yeah. Kata Iwane, the Gospel according to John, in the... In the 21st chapter, John 21, meditate is what John just loves to use that term, meditate. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias was named after Tiberius Caesar. There's a little city called Tiberias there. That's where you usually catch the boat that goes across the Sea of Galilee. Well, he's there in Galilee is where he is. And he manifested himself in this way, and there together with Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael and Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and 2 other of his disciples. Now, Thomas means twin. Nathanael means gift of God. El on the end of it, and Natan. Okay? Cana means a possession. Galilee means circle. Zebedee means thunder. And the others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Not converted yet, Brother A. What was his job? This is after the resurrection. What do you think about that, Carol? Going fishing. And they said to him, "We also will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat. And that night, and they caught nothing. You know, when you're out of God's will, don't ever expect to prosper. Don't ever expect to prosper. In this world, we have trouble prospering anyway, don't we?
Right.
But don't ever expect to prosper outside of God's will. But when the day was now breaking, voker, that's the Hebrew word, the break of day, voker. It means the break. Day broke. Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, you not have any fish, do you?" And they answered to him and said, "No." Now in another place, in another event of this, Jesus is standing on the shore, and Peter's out there. Now what is Peter's occupation?
Fishing.
El Capitan. He's the captain. He's a captain, isn't he? He knows how to fish, doesn't he? Because that's his job all of his life. He's been raised as a fisherman. So Peter's out there fishing, and he knows what he's done. He knows his business. And Jesus stands over there on the shore and says, "Cast your net on the other side." And you know what Peter says to him? "Aye, aye, Captain." It was kind of a slapping remark. You know, you're a stonemason. I'm a fisherman, fellow. That's my business. Brother Ray, you're a painter. You know painting, don't you? All right. Well, so now he's going to tell them how to fish again. They've been fishing all night long outside the will of God. And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat." Now, what in the world difference does that matter, Marilyn? It's going straight down anyway. Don't matter. Fish are all over the place.
Yeah.
"And you will find a catch." And they cast, therefore, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And then it says, "And the disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' And so when Peter heard this, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the lake or the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, and they were not far from the land, but they had about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fishes. And they got out upon the land. They saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it. Now, Jesus probably either caught these fish or created them. It don't really matter. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Bring some more. We're going to cook up some fish. And Peter went up and drew the net to land full of 153 great fish. There were so many that the net was not torn. Now let's go on down here a little bit further. Now we're going to get down here. We're going to talk about the conversion of Peter. When Peter's able. Salvation is the very point when you ask the Lord to save your soul. Is that right? It's instantaneous. In the Greek, it's first aorist, which is real nice first aorist tense. It's like this. Knife blade sharpness. It's like a straight razor. And then second aorist is something like this. It's punctiliar action. This is really punctiliar action like that. We are saved and justified at a punctiliar point of time. Sanctification is something that lasts and continues. Somewhere during that sanctification, you begin to turn yourself over to the Lord, and you're not yours anymore. You are the Lord's. Now, you are the Lord's anyway. You just don't know it. Sometimes we just don't act like it. Now, let's go here to John, the 21st chapter, verse 15, and we see this so plainly. And when they had finished breakfast, and breakfast means breaking your fast. That's what it means, breaking your fast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, now he uses the word Simon. Simon means what? One who hears. All right, the word Simeon in the Old Testament is the same name. King James, they really messed up the names in the Bible. Judas is Judah. Judah is Judas, and Jude, that's all the same name. But they got it mixed up, and you got Judas, you got Judah, and you got Jude. It should all be Judah. And it should always be Simeon, not Simon. It's all Simeon. Simeon means one who hears. He said to Simon Peter, he uses his double name like Marilyn Marie. Simon Peter, Simon son of John, do you agapeo, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? That's what he asked him. That's agapeo. Agapeo. Will you love me enough? Do you love me with a sacrificial love that you will give your life for me? More than these things? Do you love me more than these things? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I like you. He didn't say he loved him. He said, I like you. Now the translation says love. It's not love. It's like. It's from philo. Philo is a strong affection. I have a strong affection for you, Jesus, but I don't love you. I proved that already. Three times. I already proved that I wasn't converted yet. Not quite. Yes, Lord, you know that I like you. And he said to him, tend my little sheep. I want you to doctor. I want you to take. I want you to guard my little newborn lambs. You know, when you lead somebody to the Lord, Brother Ray, you have a strong affection for them, and they're your little children. Sometimes they're your better children than your children are. You'll be closer to them. Paul's children disowned him. His wife divorced him. They buried him. But Timothy was his true child, he said. Technos, my live birth, my genuine true child. He was his true child too. Verse 16. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? Agapeo is the root of that word. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I like you. Not love, I like you. I have a strong affection for you. He'd beaten around the bush. He can't admit that he will give his life for him because he won't. Not now. And he said to him, shepherd my older sheep. I want you to make sure they got food. I want you to go out and guard them from the wolves, from the lions, and the bear. And I want you to make sure, I want you to fleece them. I want you to make sure that they're doctored. I want you to do the whole work of a pastor, of a shepherd. We have Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. The equivalent of that in the New Testament is John 10. Psalm 23 says, for Jehovah is my shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. David's idea of heaven was having Jehovah as his shepherd. John, the 10th chapter, says, Jesus, I am that shepherd in Psalm 23. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, and he also said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He spoke in Hebrew and Aramaic, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he quoted the whole 22nd Psalm. Jesus was the fulfillment of the 22nd Psalm, and he was the fulfillment of Psalm 22. I am the good shepherd. Shepherd my sheep. In verse number 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you like me? Do you even like me? He didn't use the word love anymore. He said, do you, philo, do you like me? Peter was grieved, cut to his down to the bottom of his heart, because he said to him third time, do you like me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I like you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now it talks in another place where the disciples wanted to be the greatest. And they said, the one woman said, can you put one of my sons on your left hand, one side of your right hand in your kingdom? And Jesus said, you were beating around the bush about the wrong thing. And then he told old Peter, he said, Peter, one of these days somebody's going to lead you off, they're going to stretch your arms out, they're going to drive nails through your hands. Peter said, what's going to happen to him? He said, what do you care what's going to happen to him? This is what's going to happen to you. You go and do your own thing when thou art converted. When thou art converted. Now let's go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22. Verse number 29. Kata Lukon. Kata means according to Lukon. According to Luke. Luke looked at Jesus Christ as a human body. Matthew looked at Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. Mark looked at Jesus Christ as a servant. There were four flags that flew around the tabernacle. One of them had the flag. On the flag was the head of a man. That is Luke. One of them had the head of a lion, a king of the beast. That's the King of Israel. One of them had a calf. That's Mark. And one of them had an eagle. That's John, the God of heaven that came down. Now we're looking at Jesus as the man through Luke's eyes. All right. Luke was a scientist, by the way. He was a physicist and a doctor and a scientist in his day. And he was an expert witness in these things. When he says, he uses the word autopsy when he talks about an eyewitness. When you perform an autopsy on someone that's been killed, murdered, they go in and they look what made them die for themselves. It means to look for yourself. Auto and optos. Auto means self. He. To look for yourself. And Luke says, I look for myself, and this is my expert witness, and I am an expert witness in court. And that is his statement here as he looks at the life of Jesus. Verse number 29. As just as my Father granted me the kingdom, I grant it to you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and that you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Has the Satan ever sifted you? How many of you been run through the sifter, through the ringer?
Again, I didn't know it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We have demons that bother us, and every now and then the old boy himself comes behind us. I always knew where Satan was. He's about 3 steps behind me. That's where he is, about 3 steps behind me. Well, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and that when once you have been converted, you've totally turned everything over to me, strengthen your brothers. You know, sometimes people get saved and converted and everything all at once. They just pour their whole bodies into the energies, into the service of God. And I think you did that, Brother Ray. I think everything came at once with you. You may not have known everything at first, but you were willing to just, here I am, Lord. You've got the rest of my life. That's the best way to go. Otherwise, you get to go in these road bumps. Bump, bump, bump in life. We go through road bumps otherwise. The best way to do is just get that conversion over with right away. Would Peter have been better off if he'd have just thrown himself at the Lord and say, right there when they arrested him, arrest me too, Lord. Arrest me too, Lord. But you know what? Sometimes God can even... God's permissive will is not his direct will all the time. Not everything that happens in your life is God's direct will. I can guarantee you that I can show you in people's lives, I can show you the way it should have been. And it probably would have been a whole lot better. But God uses those things that happen to us to train us, to train others also. He does. He uses that. Every way. Conversion. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you finally turned around, was Peter a great witness after that? Did Peter ever fall again? Yeah. He became a Judaizer, didn't he?
Right.
He lined up with the Judaizers. So did John Mark, the guy that wrote the Gospel of Mark. He betrayed Paul when all those Gentile converts started being saved instead of the Jews. When the Jews started rejection, he took off and went back to Jerusalem so he could rub elbows with his kind. Because he was prejudiced. Prejudiced. What is the best thing for your life? Just give it all to the Lord. And say, here I am, Lord. Not everything that happens to you in this world is God's direct will. I can guarantee you the world's going to punish you many times. It's going to happen. When you get saved, your troubles just begin, don't you, Brother Ray? Because the old devil's going to try you. But you know what? You're powered by grace. A lot of times I don't have the physical ability to just get up and do things like today. But you know what? I'm powered by grace. Get there. You get there. You're powered. You push yourself where the Lord wants you. Last Wednesday night when I went to church, my heart was hurting me. My guts were hurting me so bad. I didn't know whether I was going to live to get to church or not. Sometimes I've taken off to go to Valley Baptist Church and I go right by the heart hospital. I didn't know whether to take that turn off or not. But I just kept on going. I got in there, and when I get in the pulpit, I do it. By grace, I do it. It's by grace. When God gets you converted, He can do all kinds of things with you, even if you're not able to. Don't matter. God is able to do all things. And Romans 8:28 says what? For God is able to cause all things for the work for the good of them that are the called. Right. He calls all things to work for the good of them. It didn't say it was a direct will. But even the bad things He can use for your good. When we're going through them, it sure don't seem good.
Well, it always raises the question, you know, you go far as back as Adam and Eve. you know, the choice and decision they made.
Yeah.
But yet he still, it all still worked out for the good.
That's right. God is able to cause all things to come out to work for the good of them that are the called. And it says also in another place that God won't put anything upon you that you cannot bear. That's a bad translation. God always puts on more on us than we can bear. He don't want we're made out of until we can't bear it.
Yeah, we
that bearing business, it's God that's doing all the bearing. He's the one. We're saved by grace. For in grace you are having been saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not a works lest any man should boast. But we're created unto God. We are created unto good works. That's what we're created to. Get converted as soon as possible. God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Well, I heard exactly what I wanted to hear. I don't know how it was going to come across, but it just confirmed some things that I've been studying on and understanding the subject of conversion. Okay, I was looking at Peter 2. I was examining it, but Brother Jim Phillips brought it out a little more deeper. But now he set in my heart and my mind to understand that a whole much better. But you know, all the lessons that we study and we learn and we grow in is specifically for you and you alone. Everybody takes what is needed for yourself and your personal life. I have personal needs. Every one of us here have different needs. Other people have abilities, you know, some greater, some smaller. But with God, there's no small person. Even the youngest person that's illiterate or can't read or, but has a heart and love for God, God uses them mightily. Okay, so it's not all about what kind of talent you have. God knows exactly what we all have as individuals and what we're capable of doing. You know, I could never, I wouldn't say never, but I have to live a long time in order to accomplish half of the things that Brother Jim Phillips has accomplished, because of my handicaps that I've had over the years. But God has overcome a lot of those handicaps in my personal life. My manner of speech is completely different, and Brother Jim Phillips can attest to that. And I was telling him the other day, I said, you know, I hear some of the old tapes that I have. I got over 1,000 tapes under my bed of his lessons over the years. And I used to hear myself asking questions, and I say to myself, how in the world do you even understand what I'm talking about? Because my vocabulary was completely, you know, like a cholo type talk, you know, gangster type talk. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know what to say. I was afraid to say anything because, you know, anything I said, it was worldly words, you know. So I just asked anyhow, you know.
Amen.
And like I said, I told Brother Jim yesterday, when I was in New Hope, I was sitting on the edge of the pew of where I was sitting at, like a little kid just, all ears, my eyes open, my ears open, trying to understand what he's talking about. My wife took care of my sons. I said, I don't got time to tend to those kids. You take care of them. I'm busy trying to understand. And I need all my attention and focus on what he's saying, because I'm having a heck of a time here, because he's just throwing so much out there. You know, at that time, everything's just going over my head. But I never got discouraged, you know. I always say, well, I will learn it within time. You know, my first Bible study in my house, you know how long it lasted? 3 minutes. 3 minutes until my first Bible study, because I wasn't used to it. But as time went on, it got longer and longer and longer. There was time I didn't even want to go to work. When I was laid off, I sit at home, get out my books, my wife and kids and everybody was gone. I lay on the floor with all my books and everything and read all day long, 7-8 hours. Okay? Until the kids came home, and then they know that. But anyhow, I hope those who look at this tape will have learned a little more about conversion. And if you're not completely converted, work on it, because it's virtually possible with the Lord. You know, like you said earlier, all things work together for the good to them who love God. True conversion, and I understand Paul, and I was just talking about that with my son this morning. Paul was one of those that immediately thereafter, at the point of salvation, at the point of water baptism, he was up and running. He never hit the ground running, and he never stopped. If you ever want an example of a man that's converted, completely converted, read the Apostle Paul. He was a lover of God's people, the lover of his church. that he would expend himself beyond. Never was a big deal with him. And that's how I perceive Brother Jim Phillips. He come all the way up here. I know he was hurting because I seen him when I walked in. He was kind of stopped there just, but it seemed like when he got up here, he started getting a little momentum going. At first, he was kind of slow going there. All of a sudden, he started getting this momentum. I said to myself, I guess that grace is kicking in now.
Amen. That's where it came from.
That grace is kicking in now.
You get up there and he'll do it.
Yeah, so, no, brother, I really appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to come out here with us. And we hope to have many more times that you will come up and bring us something that we can use. Because we have a lot to learn. We really do. Okay. Vincent, you want to dismiss us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come here and worship you, Lord, and to learn the things that you, the teachings that you give us, Lord, and also the deeper meanings behind them. Thank you for the blessings of fellowship and brethren, Lord, and that we continue to love one another as you command in the Bible. Lord, thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us, Lord, and for more reasons than one, Lord, that you continue to give us hope in this world that we walk through, and that in one day that we'll see our loved ones, but until the meantime, you give us plenty of strength, plenty of grace and mercy that as we make this walk, be with Brother Jim and Marilyn, Lord, that if they, when they head back home, Lord, that you would grant them a safe trip back there and just a nice, smooth ride. Thank you for the lessons you continue to give us. In the precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay.